from Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Welcome into Life Change Weekend, and thank you, Aaron, and we're glad for all of you that are listening today. This is Life Change Today, going out on a number of radio stations, and we're glad that you're listening in. I want to say a welcome today to our people on live stream, the Gospel Radio East Africa Network, originating in Uganda and covering East Africa. Welcome. Today we're going to be talking about the American system and how things operate here in America when it comes to voting. And we have our regular on with us today, Homer McMillan, attorney at law and a pastor of a local church. And Mac, how are you doing today?
I am well, Dino. Things are really stirring in the church I pastor. And, you know, you asked me a question during one of our conversations. I don't know if it was a radio program or not, but you asked me if I felt like there was a movement of God in America today. And I really sense that the Lord's doing something special in this brief respite. These are troubled times, but God's working at Highland View Baptist, and I'm grateful for it.
That's great to hear, Mac. I'm delighted you're there. You've been out there how long now?
I've been here for 9 months. I've lived in the Florida Panhandle for a number of decades and pastored for 7 years in Carabel, Florida, the church where I got saved, and pastored in Apalachicola, the county seat of the same county that Carabel's in, and now I'm 20 miles further to the west in Port of St. Joe and still on the beautiful Forgotten Coast, or as it begins to be called here, the Emerald Coast.
Yeah, for those of you that are not familiar with Florida, I live on the East Coast, and I enjoy it here, but that West Coast is really beautiful. It is a diamond. It really is. Now, we're going to talk today about voting, about government, planning churches in America. It's an exciting topic. Let's begin, Mac, with talking a little bit about the blessing in America to have the privilege of voting.
Yes, sir. Really, the way I approach this, and I've delivered the content of this talk many, many times, and I usually approach it by telling a story. and the story is that I was called to preach, went to Bible college. We had a new pastor at my home church where I was saved in Carabel, Florida, and me being a young preacher, he asked me to preach at a watch night service, a service on New Year's Eve that was held till late in the evening. And so I said, sure, of course, I would preach. And he preached, I preached, I think somebody else preached, but I preached from Psalm 11 and verse 3. The scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And Dino, I preached a topical message on the foundations of the faith, the blood of Christ and the inerrancy of scripture and the person of Jesus Christ. And we had a good meeting that night. And the next day, or a day or so after, he took me out to lunch. And he said, you know, Mac, if you're going to preach the Bible, it might be a good idea if you'd look the words up in a dictionary before you actually preach the text. He said, because that word doesn't have anything to do with the foundation of the faith. He said, that word, if the foundations be destroyed, he said, that word has to do with civil law. I learned an important lesson about preaching. So I'd never preached more than 2 or 3 times in my whole life. And I learned an important lesson about biblical interpretation. But I found out that text is a text where David says, in the midst of a great deal of pressure, he says to his advisors who are saying, flee from Jerusalem, leave the seat of government, we can fight a guerrilla campaign. And he says, I'm not going to fly as a bird to the mountains. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If I, the king, cede my duties and leave, what's going to happen to society? What's going to happen to the culture? What's going to happen to the law and the rule of law? And so the principle is this. If we don't engage in the marketplace of ideas at the level of civil involvement in government, then eventually we'll lose our government. Benjamin Franklin who was asked outside of the meeting of the Constitutional Convention. They said, what kind of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin? And he replied, I believe, a republic if you can keep it.
Yeah, this is an interesting thought that you're giving to us here, Mac. I really appreciate you bringing it up. And I could not agree more than when you say, when you look at the words of Scripture, find out what they mean. I learned that years ago in college, and what a blessing that was to me to begin to really open up the depth of the Scriptures. Now, let's talk a little bit about this way that we do it in America. We vote. People will say, well, you know, everybody is voting. My vote doesn't mean a lot. You hear people say, well, it's not the greatest right that we have. What's your view as an attorney, first of all? Let's talk about it as an attorney in voting in America.
Well, first of all, of course, the real hot button issue today is identification of voters at the polling place with the purpose of making sure that individuals who are not citizens are not voting. As an attorney, I analyze things on a practical level as well as on a legal level. And I believe statistically there's not a great deal of that happening. Of course, someone who would advocate for voter ID perhaps would say one vote is too many. And I agree, we shouldn't have non-citizens voting. But I'm not sure that it's statistically significant. Now, on the other hand, I remember Florida and the election of George W. Bush. And it was not long after that election, I was in a car with a young preacher, and we were discussing the election. I said, yeah, this vote was really close. And you remember it was 287 votes, I believe, that he won Florida by. And this young man, he said, yeah, I didn't vote. He said, my wife and I, we didn't vote. And just think the difference that could have made in the course of history.
You know, I remember.
As an attorney, I encourage people who have the legal right to exercise that right at the ballot box. And if someone's not legally qualified, they need to get legally qualified by being an American citizen. And that's important. As an attorney, I want to see people obey the rule of law. And unfortunately, that doesn't happen sometimes. So, you know, voter ID, it wouldn't upset me. I show an ID to do a lot of things. But, you know, get your driver's license renewed. You've got to have a driver's license to get the new ID. I had to have a birth certificate and some other documentation. You know, okay, it's not an attempt to suppress the vote. It's an attempt to regularize the vote. It's just not something I would spend a lot of energy on.
Yeah, thank you for that insight. That is a controversial issue in America. I know I've talked to a number of people. You know, talking about Broward County, when that happened, I lived in Broward County. I remember speaking at Tennessee Temple University, Highland Park Baptist Church, on a large crowd there for a Bible conference. And I said this, not meaning to make it funny, but I said it, and the place was in an uproar. It said, I'm from Broward County, and it's where we count more than you do. And that was the crowd's reaction. I thought, I got to get this back to what I want to speak on now.
Right.
But we're right in the midst
of
that.
When they remember the joke, but not the sermon, you know.
I was right in the midst of when that was taking place. You're listening into Life Change today. My good friend Homer McMillan is on with us, pastor, attorney at law. Thank you for letters that you have sent in. This one is a beautiful letter, lengthy email actually from Pakistan. I read just a portion. Our church always looks forward to your teaching on live stream. And this one comes to you from Nigeria. Thank you for your radio broadcast, Life Change. Arden Village is enjoying it. And then this one comes to us from Africa. Thank you for your prayers. This was a church that was actually building a building, and they were going through some difficult times with flooding, and they got it accomplished, so we're glad for that. And then a good friend of mine writes from Arizona, thank you for putting our friends on your Thursday prayer list. And if you have prayer requests you want us to remember in prayer, we do have a Thursday prayer list. Usually it's on Thursday, sometimes it's Friday or Saturday, depending on the amount of material that we're getting. But we put out a prayer list, and many people pray over it. You can simply send the prayer request to my name, Dino Pedrone, DinoPedrone, @gmail.com. Now, again, we're talking with Homer McMillan today concerning some areas of government and voting. And you were a church planter. Explain to our people what a church planter is and how the whole thing even of government is a part of church planting.
Oh, yes, that's a great topic. The ministry that God gave to my wife and me, to me, before I was married, I helped to start a church, and I pastored a church as a single man. Don't recommend it, but I did. And being a little bit facetious, I'm not recommending it, but not much. But I met Dee as a result of ministry. And we got married, and what we would do is we would go into a town where we didn't know anyone, and we would get a case of scripture portions and some gospel tracts, and we'd start knocking on doors. And we would knock on doors until the Lord gave us souls for our hire, and we would organize them into a New Testament church. We did that in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania. A remarkable little work there. Fellowship Baptist Church of Lancaster County there in Mount Joy. The pastor there is a third generation pastor just doing a fantastic job. Last I talked to him, they just needed room to build. And then other places that we helped to start churches. When I was single, I pastored a church at Fellowship Baptist Church on top of Larksville Mountain over in the Wyoming Valley area of Pennsylvania, northeastern Pennsylvania, Wilkes-Barre. And then we also trained people later in our ministry. I taught in a Bible college and trained some young men, and have preachers in Pennsylvania and preachers in California, preachers around that have planted and have pastored churches or are pastoring churches. So that's what we did. And what you want to do when you're planting a church is you want to stay in the good graces of the state, if at all possible. You know, when we were planting churches, there were people who wanted to get me involved in a lot of different distracting projects. That was what they felt was what made the church pure and clean and right. And you just named the project, and I can tell you about it. And that's not the church's purpose. And the church's purpose is not to antagonize government. The church's purpose is to be a blessing to government. Now, when government interferes with the preaching of the gospel, sometimes sometimes conflict does arise. But the goal is not to create conflict. And many times, I think evangelical Christians think that we're under some kind of obligation to get in a fuss with people. And here in our area, there's a legal fuss over something that just never should have been a fuss. And it has to do with religious speech, and I'm for the speech that's being advocated. But you can work in harmony with government. And the old adage is you can get a whole lot more flies with honey than you can with vinegar.
Yeah. As we think about this topic of what you're talking about, I appreciate you bringing it up. Do you feel with pastors, they go through a stage of life when they are very involved in some things? I know I was, and with conviction, I was involved in some things. But as you get older, you see a broader view, and it's not that you're not still convicted, but you realize that the kingdom is much bigger than what maybe was our little area. Do you see that in your own experience, because you're becoming a veteran of the ministry as I am? How do you see that?
I absolutely agree, and I don't want our audience to think that we're having a mutual admiration society here. You know, it just so happens that Dino and I are so in harmony on so many things, and as I've aged, the things that seemed important to me in the past have faded, because you know, I'm 65 years old. If God's gracious and keeps me agile of mind and body, maybe I've got a ministry to 80, 85. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not necessarily in the fourth quarter, but it's late in the third quarter of an American football game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to make an impact that's broader than just your little area, your little space. That's why I'm involved with the Southern Baptist Convention, because it has such impact globally for the cause of Christ and does so much for church planting in America. We can just do more together than we can apart.
Yeah, that's good. I was chatting with a pastor friend of mine up in his 90s not long ago, and he said, where I'm at, he said, I'm in the last quarter and the ball is in the air heading the end zone. It's the last play.
Well, let's score.
I think that was his point. That's a win.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're listening into Life Change. Thank you so much for listening into our program. It's Tino Bedrill Ministries presents Life Change. Thanks so many of you for your help with our ministry overseas in Myanmar. We pastor pastors over there literally from here, and we help them with many things. But one of the things we specifically do is to send finances to them. Some of them have very little money to have an income. And years ago, I preached at their National Baptist Convention, and then I went out into the villages to visit some of the villages. It was a remarkable thing to see what God was doing, and that's where we began to collect funds for them. And so if you want to send funds in, we send them all to Dr. Munn over there. Dr. Munn is a dear friend of ours. We know how to get the funds there safely. And it's a very interesting way that it happens. It's wonderful that everything you send in goes directly there. We don't keep any of it here. But if you'd like to help support these pastors, their address to send the funds to is Dino Pedrone Ministries. That's my name, DINOPEDRONE Ministries, 433 Plaza Real. That's PLAZA. Then another word, Real, REAL. And it's at Suite 275. That's our virtual office, Boca Raton, Florida, 33432. And thank you so much for your gift. One of the things I want to ask you about, Mac, our time is, we got about 5 minutes left here. I want to ask you, because a lot of discussion by people concerning the church and getting involved in politics. And well, I know you've thought about this stuff many times and you've crafted some ideas on this. Just give us some suggestions for young pastors listening in, and also for church members that maybe they say, I want my pastor to speak more on politics, and someone else says, we're sick of politics from the pulpit. And we have extremes, I'm sure, on both sides. But what do you suggest to be done there?
Well, I made a decision early on in my ministry, the influence of the gentleman that I referred to earlier, his name's Dr. Gene Geiger. He passed away in 1997. I preached his funeral, but his influence and the influence of the Bible college I attended was to look to the text. If the text speaks to an issue, then as a preacher, I've got an obligation to speak to an issue. And I have an opportunity to speak to an issue. For instance, at our church, we're unashamedly pro-life. And where the text speaks to that issue, I'm going to deal with it. Now, I'm going to be gentle about that. One of the things that someone confronted me with early on in my ministry, a truth, is this: everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. And that includes people we disagree with politically. That includes doctors in an abortion clinic. We've got to have some compassion in our hearts. We've got to have some love in our hearts for people who the God of this world has blinded their eyes. It's easy to be critical of politicians, and we should speak the truth in love. But these are human beings, and I want to do what I can to reach them with the gospel. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, you said two things here that really are helpful, especially to those who preach the gospel. You said earlier, words mean something. And your friend told you that when you were preaching on Psalms 11:3. And I believe that's very important for our lives. And I would say to young preachers out there, words, find out what the words actually mean. You know, the Bible says, be perfect as I am perfect. If you don't know what the meaning of that word is, or if you want to be claim to be perfect, you're going to have a hard time getting through that kind of a text. And so know the words. But the second thing is, what does the text actually say? And I've always looked at it this way. As I study the Word of God, and I love preaching as I know you do, it's my heartbeat. When I study, what does it actually say here? Secondly, you know, what is it saying to me? And then thirdly, how do I get this across to people? And I think words and text are very, very important, Mac. Those are excellent ideas that you're sharing. And how many years have you been in the ministry now?
It's about 35 or so. I was ordained in 1989. Mm-hmm. Graduated from Bible College in 1987, so it just depends on how you define being in ministry. I've been in Bible College, I was, you know, of course, everybody's full-time in ministry. And I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said, you're bivocational, so you're part-time at the church and part-time at law. I said, no, you can't pastor a church part-time. It's impossible if you have a heart for the church to pastor a church part-time, and you certainly can't practice law part-time.
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly true. Boy, is that ever true. And you know, as we get older, the thing that blesses me is that God allows us to do things in the future if a person wants to. I've met some dear friends of mine. They retired and really didn't have a plan for it financially or plan for it as far as the giftedness that God gifted them. And the gifts of God, but I understand Scripture, it's without repentance, which means that, you know, God does not want us to walk away from those gifts He's given to us. Well, my dear friend, the time is up. It's gone quickly, as it always does when we have you on. And I want to thank you for being on with us again. You've been listening in to Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron chatting with you here from beautiful South Florida. Don't forget, Monday through Friday, we have our Bible studies. I teach Monday through Thursday, and we have a colleague that comes on that helps us on Friday and teaches the Word of God. Then on Saturday, we look at this as kind of the social media idea. This is talking to people about what happens in their lives, and we have regulars on as well. Macmillan, my dear friend, is on here regularly. We have Greg Rumo. We have Haas Wiggins on regularly. And John Jenko. These are all regulars on the weekends. Plus, we add in other people's testimonies. So stay tuned to Life Change Weekend and Life Change Today. And that's the goal in our lives, is to help our lives to change by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And boy, do we all need life change.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to DinoPadrone@gmail.com or DinoPadroneMinistries.org. That's DinoPadrone@gmail.com or DinoPadroneMinistries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.